State Senator Norm McAllister's rape trial ended abruptly last week when prosecutors dismissed two counts of sexual assault against him. The lawyer for his accuser says the charges were dropped after her client lied under oath about a, quote, minor point unrelated to her allegations against McAllister, which she maintains are true. But some advocates for rape survivors were concerned about the larger message prosecutors might be sending by not pursuing the charges. To learn more, I talked with Auburn Watersong with the Vermont Network Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. I started by asking her about the reactions she heard when the trial was called off.
So the reaction we've been getting from people really focuses on the trauma suffered by the victim who is put on the stand. And we know that this is something that happens across the board in all sexual violence cases which go to court. It can be a really challenging and re-traumatizing experience for victims, and the folks in the victims advocacy community have expressed their concern in that way. Of course, we also have the concerns around prosecution and what makes a successful prosecution in these types of cases.
McAllister's accuser is now 21 years old. She used to work for the senator. She testified during the trial that he had forced her to have oral sex in a barn. He later allegedly assaulted her at his home. But McAllister's attorney is focused on several inconsistencies in her sworn statements. Generally speaking, is this uncommon that a sexual assault survivor on the stand would have these gaps or inconsistencies in their memory?
Experts in the field will tell us that trauma affects one's ability to think linearly, to remember, not to remember content, but to actually line up the content as in the way that it occurred. So while the content might be accurate, bringing it back together is a slow and challenging process for victims. We also know that trauma causes one to, you know, we've heard the phrase flight or fight, but in these instances, it can also cause a freeze response. And so we have this culture and this understanding of rape that may not be as nuanced as we need it to be when it comes to victims' responses. So the average juror, the average American, may be looking for the victim to be the one who is screaming and fighting back. And what they might hear from victims is, in fact, there was a freeze response. I also believe that, you know, we are all part of a rape culture. And we really need to look at not just an understanding of trauma, but a fundamental cultural shift that is needed, not just in the criminal justice system, but, you know, in the culture at large.
In cases where the sexual assault accuser is employed by the defendant, can you talk about how power dynamics come into play here? It gets more complicated than it might be in some other situations.
Absolutely. And the term that we use for this is sexual exploitation. When there is an imbalance of power, when we see, for example, there's an employer-employee relationship or a mentor-mentee relationship, when sexual acts are part of the bargaining for drugs or food or shelter or protection or other basics of life.
State Senator Norm McAllister had pleaded not guilty to all of these charges. His attorney praised the prosecutor's decision to drop the charges in this trial. I want to talk about the impact that a case like this would have on survivors of sexual assault, though. When we hear of someone coming forward, it goes to trial, and then these charges are dropped early on in the trial. When you talk to survivors, how does that affect them?
We are definitely concerned. National statistics from the Department of Justice tell us that out of every 100 rapes, only 32 get reported to the police. And eventually, 7 will lead to an arrest. 3 of those 100 are referred to prosecutors. 2 will lead to a felony conviction. So, you know, we know that not all rapes are getting reported as it is, and we are very concerned that victims in Vermont and across the country hear over and over and over again that we want to support them, that we hear their voices, that their stories are important, and their safety and what they need comes first.